Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, it's Tom Hanks podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say thanks for Hanks. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to You've Got Hanks. This is the podcast about Colin Hanks. My name is Rachel, and I'm very excited today because I have a really great person. Okay, well, first of all, they're wonderful, and they're a magician and a member of the Magic Castle. It's Chris Tabahara!
Hi!
Hi! Thank you for being here today. I always say that, but it sounds like we're, like, somewhere.
That's okay. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be here with you.
Yeah. Thank you. I asked you specifically for this this movie. We're talking about The Great Buck Howard from 2008. And I asked you because this movie is about, well, he's not a magician. He's a mentalist?
He's a mentalist, yeah.
Yeah. But I was like, maybe you would have some insights into that. I don't know.
Sure. Well, also at the end, remember, like, is this okay for spoilers?
Yeah.
Okay. Because at the end, he ends up, he does that Vegas show, right?
Yeah.
And he then incorporates, like, traditional flashy OG magic into his act. So then he kind of, like, sells out, like, his whole thing is like, I'm a mentalist, but then he, like, sells out when he does his Vegas show, because that's what the Utz Chips guy from Mad Men says that, like, people want if they come see a magic show in Vegas. But the difference between, I mean, honestly, it's all under the same umbrella. Like, I remember speaking to someone at the Magic Castle just randomly that I met, who was a escape artist, and so, like, they were really, like, offended that I, like, lumped them in as a magician as well. But it's like, you are a magician member of the castle. It's not like there's escape members of the castle or mentalist members of the castle. So, oh, and for people who don't know, the Magic Castle is a private club in Hollywood for magicians. It's kind of the Soho House for magicians. So you have to audition as a magician to get a membership, to be a member. And then obviously it's a private club, so you pay dues and stuff. So you can go see magic, you can access the library and, like, take friends, and it's, like, an all-around fun time. But there's like different, like, subsets. So there's parlor magic, which is, like, for people who are, like, a little bit further away. There's close-up magic, sleight of hand stuff, that's for, like, little intimate groups. That's a lot of the card tricks and coin tricks, things like that. Parlor magic, you could think of, like, that as, like, maybe, like, the linking rings.
Okay.
And then there's mentalism, which is mostly like the magician or the mentalist is reading your mind somehow. And then escape artists are like Harry Houdini, where they, like, break out of handcuffs and stuff.
Yeah. Wow. What's the one time I worked at Spike TV and they had these, we had a Chris Angel show. And
oh, Chris Angel. Okay. There's also illusionists. So illusionists do the, like, big stage shows where they cut someone in half.
Okay. They had these, like, magician kits, and one of them was, like, the finger, where you put the thingy in the finger and then you hide it, and they're like, where did it go? But it's in the fake finger that they give you. What kind of magic would that be?
I really can't say anything because you're, like, giving away some secrets.
Well, it's in the Chris Angel box thingy. The kids, Chris Angel spoils. Those are just things that are out. No secrets revealed here. Because I know that's the number one rule of being, it's like Fight Club. You can't talk about being a magician.
No, you can talk about it. You just can't, you know, a magician can't reveal the secrets. Even though I know how a trick is done, even if I don't do it, I can't tell you how it is.
Okay. But
I will say that 99% of the time when someone says to me, I know how it's done, it's done this way, honestly, 99% of the time, people are so wrong. And I don't say this just to be like, I'm an asshole magician that's going to say that you're wrong. I'm just saying this because it's like, people think of the most convoluted ways stuff is done. And they'll like think of 13 steps to get to the reveal, when really I know that it probably only took 3.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's okay. Like, you know. And they're convinced that I'm just not telling them that that's how it's done. And it's like, no, I can't tell you. And also you're completely off.
Yeah. You're probably a really good friend though, because you can keep secrets. I would immediately have my magician card taken away from me, because I'm always like, you want to know how it's done?
You could teach.
Yeah. I just could never be a card carrying member of anything. And just like anytime someone's like, you can't talk about this, but it's like, yeah, but someone else is talking about it. Can I talk about it now that they talked about it? No? Okay. I won't. I'm trying to be better about it, but you know, the one thing that I can't is if I know this is wrong, but if a friend tells me that they like someone, and then that person tells me that they also like them, you have to do something, right?
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, that's only being a good friend, right?
Yeah. That's the time where I'm like, oh, I gotta tell you. Because it's gonna make, and then I'll be invited to the wedding. And
you'll be mentioned in the speech.
Yeah, Rachel brought us together. But you could have brought yourselves together. Okay, well, The Great Book Howard, starring John Malkovich and Colin Hanks. The synopsis for anyone who hasn't seen it from IMDb is: a young man, much to the chagrin of his father, Tom Hanks, becomes the new assistant to an illusionist in decline. Is that correct?
Oh, they should have said mentalist, but I guess people don't really know what a mentalist is.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's
accurate. I think when I asked you to do this, I said illusionist because that was what the synopsis said, and I was wrong. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's John Malkovich's character it's Buck Howard who like makes a whole do of it, right?
Yeah. So. John Malkovich is great in this. I like how he, whenever he meets someone, like the running bit is that he shakes their hand really aggressively.
Yes. Yes.
That's like one way to really humanize people, is just like someone aggressively shaking their hand, because then everyone has the same like, oh, okay. Reaction.
Speaking of the handshake, when we first meet him in that like steakhouse, like that leatherback chaired steakhouse type spot, like that oldie timey place, the person who introduces him, I can't remember what his character's name is, but it's Ricky Jay. Oh. And Ricky Jay is pretty famous magician. May he rest in peace. He's died. But he was in, I think it's season seven or six of The X-Files. I think maybe. Okay. He's in the episode The Amazing Malini, and he plays this like, anyway, long story short, famous magician. I found out about him because of X-Files. And then when I like did some digging, I realized, oh, like this person is actually an important magician. He's not just some rando actor.
Oh, wow. So like his like the guy who does like the press for him?
Was it press or was he just like the person who like, I can't remember, but he like hires Colin Hanks.
Yeah.
He's the one who's always at the restaurant.
Yeah.
I can't remember what his job was.
That's really cool. I thought he was an actor, but he's a magician. Mm-hmm. Wow. I wonder if there's other, I mean, there's a lot of people in this movie, like big people. There's
Like Gary Coleman.
Yeah. Yeah. Emily Blunt is in this. Steve Zahn is in it. I love Steve Zahn. Deborah Monk. Adam Scott's in it for a bit.
Yes, for the first 2 seconds. And he plays some really the creepy old assistant.
Yeah. And is it, why does, I feel like Adam Scott is a nice person, but he's always playing like creepy people or like bad guys in movies.
I love it. I think he does a great job.
Because he does that thing. Oh, I hate it. When the woman's trying to get through the door and he's purposely standing in it. So she has to like really scooch by him.
Yeah.
Ew.
Gross.
Yeah. But this was also produced by Playtone, which is Tom Hanks' production company.
I saw that in the credits. And then when I saw him in the movie, I was like, oh.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, I couldn't find anything, but also it's probably not. But I was wondering if, like, the movie came to Playtone first, and then Tom Hanks was like, yeah, and my son should be in it. Or Colin was on it, and then he was like, Dad, produce this movie. Or they both came together without ever talking. You know? Or maybe it was a thing where, like, they had this movie and they auditioned Colin and he got the role because they were like, hey, would your dad like to play the part of the dad? Because I think that happens because, fun fact, Miley Cyrus only got the part of Hannah Montana because they were like, Billy Ray Cyrus can play your dad in the show. So
really?
Yeah, yeah,
wow,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Because at the time, Billy Ray was big. And Miley was just a baby. So they were like, well, if we get Miley Cyrus, then Billy Ray can be in the show. And that's the star power, Billy Ray Cyrus.
And the rest is history.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. But I was just wondering how that came into being. Because Tom is in it. He plays Colin's dad, disappointed dad. Because mm-hmm. Colin Hanks' character is supposed to be in law school, but he realizes he doesn't want to be a lawyer. And so he... Mm-hmm.
Who does, though, really?
Yeah. Right? I mean, yeah. I thought about it because I was like, oh, it's just arguing with people. But I was like, I don't like doing that.
Is it too much of a tangent if I give you like a Chet Hanks fun fact?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go for it.
Okay. So, well, like speaking of wayward sons. So I used to be in an improv team with this woman who grew up in Brentwood. And she was living at the house she grew up in at the time. This is like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And she invited the whole team to go practice at that house one day. And it was this like huge Brentwood home, beautiful home. And we all got there. We ended up kind of just shooting the shit and hanging out. It was really sweet. But she had said that when she was growing up, Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson we're living across the street, so she had like grown up with Tom Hanks like living across the street in this house there, and then I guess they still owned the house, and later Chet Hanks started living there.
Oh no.
And was very much the like celebrity son and had like rowdy ass parties and stuff.
Yeah.
And the neighborhood like banded together to get him kicked out.
Of course. Oh my gosh. Chet! I just want to have a conversation with him and be like, dude, what are you doing?
Will you be able to understand patois?
Oh, Chet, I just want to know what the real Chet Hanks is, you know, when he's not putting on his act for everyone, where he's just this like, hot white boy summer, you know?
That's the thing. So my partner and I had a conversation about this, and he was saying that he thinks that like, that's just his like that's just him IRL, always, all the time.
He really thinks that he's that special.
Yeah, and you know what, everyone has their own journey.
Yeah no, okay, whatever. I'm just upset because my life goal is to be the child of Tom Hanks. And I feel like he's just, you know, not using that that gift.
Or in a way he is, though,
he
right?
He is, yeah.
In the same way, like, not in the same way, but in a similar way that Colin does.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like Colin very much is, I mean, they're both kind of like, I'm not going to associate myself with my dad as much. Because, like, mm-hmm. Colin's like, I want to make it on my own. But he does kind of get help from his dad, probably as we all get help from our parents at one point, in some way or another. But I feel like Chet is just, like, not, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if he talks to Tom at all. That's my thing. I don't know if Tom talks to Chet. I know that Rita does. Rita loves him. Rita posted for his birthday this year. She's like, we love you. We've always loved you. We think you're so funny. And it's like, yeah. But also,
In your research about, like, Colin Hanks, like, do you know if they're a pretty close family?
I don't know. Well, I know that Colin and Elizabeth are from Tom's previous marriage. So, and then they also kind of grew up before Tom was, like, super famous. So that's also got to affect it. That's why they seem maybe probably more normal. And then Chet, like, he was born, like, at the height of, like, Tom Hanks's career in the 90s. So, like, he's only, like, had all this, and then also his mom is also famous, so, like,
it's the perfect recipe.
Yeah, so it's like, I understand how he is the way that he is. I just am upset that I can't have that opportunity
to choose either way, right?
Yeah. And then also, like, don't I just hate that, like, Tom has this kind of, like, he's known as, like, America's dad, and he's, like, kind of perfect and wonderful. And then it's just, and then there's Chet. And it's like, everyone's like, yeah, but Chet. It's like, oh, there's always got to be something negative to go with the positive. But whatever.
Yeah. No. Sorry, I totally derailed the conversation from the movie, though.
No, I always enjoy going on a rant about Chet. You've got to when you're talking about the Hankses. But yes, Colin is great. I have noticed from Colin's work so far in my research of watching all of his movies is that, like, up until this point, it felt like he was kind of just doing random stuff that didn't really make sense. And this movie felt like he was finally getting on kind of a good path, maybe. Because it's not, like, a well-known movie. And I wouldn't say it's, like, wonderful. But it is, like, a fun movie. And it's got really good people in it. And he is, like, the star of it. Well, him and John Malkovich, kind of. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I was like, okay, Colin, you're doing it. Because for a while there, I was like, what are you doing, Colin? And now he's, like, getting back on track.
I actually, besides Mad Men, I don't really know his oeuvre.
Yeah. No, he hasn't done a lot. It's not like Tom, where his second movie was Splash. And then from there on, it was, like, just hit after hit after hit. He was in The House Bunny.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. I totally forgot about that.
And he's mostly done television, which is a lot harder because not a lot of people, like, people know movies, but they don't know TV shows. So he was in Fargo and he's done other shows.
Right.
Like Mad Men. A lot of people like Mad Men. And that's your favorite Colin Hanks thing.
Yeah, I mean, I genuinely really liked his character on that show. It was, yeah, I don't really remember if he was creepy or not.
Yeah.
But he was a priest.
Yeah. Someone, because I haven't seen it, but I will for this podcast. But someone was like, he was the original hot priest, you know?
Yeah.
Fleabag.
I would say that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, in fact, when the first time I watched Fleabag, I was like, this is making me think of Mad Men.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So, you could do that whole meme of like Colin walked so that Fleabag could run. So, but also he's done, I'm trying to think of what else he's done. He did Orange County. That's the biggest one that everyone knows. But yeah, no, it's okay.
Sorry.
No. It's okay. It's only offending Colin. No, I'm just kidding. No, Colin's doing great. He does television. He's, you know, got great, you know, he doesn't have to do much. His dad is Tom Hanks. He's
true.
He's set for life already. But he's like, no, I want to do something too. And he does.
He does. Yeah. And he's doing it.
Yeah. This movie was actually written and directed by Sean McGinley, who based it on real life experience as a road manager for The Amazing Kreskin.
I was gonna look that up.
I don't think I've seen The Amazing Kreskin. Maybe I have. He was apparently the first ever person to appear 3 times on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon.
Well, actually,
that was a fun fact.
With Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah.
Oh, this guy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've seen his books at magic stores.
Yeah.
Because actually, Buck Howard reminded me a lot of, and the positive qualities, not his like diva-ish qualities.
Yeah.
I work a lot with he has since passed me. He rest in peace also. But Mark Wilson was one of the, him and his wife, Nani Darnell, were the godfathers of television magic. So from 1960 to 1964, they had a show called The Magical World of Alakazam on national television every Saturday morning, never repeated a trick. And a lot of magicians like David Copperfield and like older white magicians will often credit Mark and Nani as like the reason why they got into magic themselves as kids, because they watched them as children and then went on to have careers of their own. And when I first met Mark, I was taking a class at the Magic Castle, and he's like kind of super old, but he was still an excellent teacher. His son Greg, who I work with a lot now, is like an amazing magician, illusionist, but Mark would often like talk about his stories of being on Johnny Carson.
Oh.
And so like when Buck Howard's talking about being on Carson, I was just like, oh my god, this totally reminds me of like when Mark would refer to being on Carson. And actually one of the tricks that he's like famous for from Carson is something that I kind of incorporated in my act as kind of an homage to him. So
oh, cool. I want to see your act.
One day, post-COVID.
Yeah. One day when it's safe. Are people who do like the because for like cruises and for like mm-hmm. welcome weeks at colleges, there's always like someone who comes in and does like hypnotizes people and makes them do silly things. Mm-hmm. Would that be under the veil of like magician illusionist? Mentalist?
I think that falls under mentalist, because that's also what Buck Howard does, right?
Yeah, because he made them all fall asleep.
Yeah.
In that one scene.
Yeah.
Which I always wonder, are these people just falling asleep because he's telling them to? Because I would too, because I would be like, well, I don't want to be the only one not falling asleep. You know?
Well, also, like, I feel like I'd be such a perfect candidate for that, because I'll sleep anywhere.
Yeah.
No matter
how
loud it is, I'll just fall asleep. So I don't know if it would be a testament to someone's like mentalist skills or the fact that I could just like fall asleep anywhere.
Yeah. I've seen ones though where they're like, take off your shoe and sniff it, and someone will do that, and I'm like, are they actually doing that, or are they are really making them do that, or are they doing it because they're telling them to do it and they don't want to make them look bad, you know what I mean? That's what I think in my head. Maybe that's why I'm not a good candidate, because I would just be like, are you sure? Okay. I'd be thinking too much myself. But anyway, yeah. I think that's fun. That reminds me of a clip from The Simpsons that plays. Have you ever been to Universal?
Yes.
At the Simpsons place, they play clips of different food scenes or whatever. There's one where Homer gets hypnotized and he like they make him think of like the one where they're like, now you're British, and then the person starts talking and they're British, but this was Homer, and it's now like he like made them, he was like, now you're Emily Dickinson, and he was like, instead of like doing an impression like you would think that they would, he was like, I'm Angie Dickinson. And it was just funny because he's stupid. Homer's stupid. But anyways, I went on my own tangent.
Okay.
Yeah. So in the movie, Colin Hanks wants to be a lawyer, but then he decides to follow, he becomes a road manager for the Grey Buck Howard. And then, Tom Hanks shows up upset. And it's a great cameo, but also it's, I watched this movie for the first season of the podcast for when I was doing all of Tom Hanks movies. And when I got to this movie, I was kind of disappointed because I was like, oh, he's in it and he plays Colin's dad. That'll be great. We can see like their chemistry together and like also like Tom Hanks movie, right? And then it was just like he was there for maybe like a second or two and he's like not a great dad. He's like... disappointed yeah. dad, so it's not fun. So it's disappointing to watch it from a Tom perspective, but this yeah. time watching it from a Colin perspective, like I still didn't really like Tom's character, but it was a better experience because it was more Colin, and the times that Tom did show up, it was like a fun surprise.
Yeah, and you also sympathize with Colin too.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, stop being such a dad, Tom. And then in my head, I'm like, is that how he is with his kids? Because like in interviews and stuff, he's like very like cool and fun and seems like a nice person. But like, I bet you he is like that serious with his kids.
I wonder. Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know.
I mean, you could see the disappointment. I mean, maybe it's that he's a really good actor, but you could yeah. also see like how crushing it is to disappoint his father.
Yeah, right. It's like upsetting that it's like, oh yeah, I do want to be one of Tom's kids, but like that look and that feeling of him being disappointed really feels bad.
Yeah, they're like, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Oh, I hate that. But yeah, Tom shows up there and then he shows up at the end and he's like, I gotta get out of this town. I hate LA. I thought that was
oh
funny.
Yeah, I forgot about that. He's in the end. I totally forgot about that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, where are they? Like the Beverly or something?
And there's some fancy brunch spot.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Colin like immediately gets like a writer's assistant position.
Oh my God. I actually wrote a note. I wrote a bunch of notes down so that I had some stuff to talk about. I wrote a note about that because Emily Blunt. Okay, first of all, sorry. Side note, I won't go off on too much of a tangent for this
one,
but
go for it.
The fashion in the film look like the friend that I was watching with, who's a director, was just like, this is 2008? It looks like 1999 or like 2002 fashion. And yeah, like whoever the costume designer was just kind of was working backwards a little. Because like, and then Emily Blunt's character, I had no idea she could do an American accent so well.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, isn't she British?
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of found it, and I guess it's a part of the movie, the magic of movies, and you kind of have to suspend disbelief. But I had a little hard time to believe that, you know, this woman who does like publicity and was just like kind of looking for a good time while she was in town doing the thing about Buck Howard, like she like fucks this dude once and then like a few years later is like, oh, I got you a writing gig.
Yeah.
Random
yeah.
stranger that I've had sex with once.
It was weird. It was also like, how do you get that job? Or then I was like thinking of like, how does she working in publicity know like a showrunner? I guess because she would do publicity for him.
Yeah, isn't that what she says in the movie?
Yeah, but then it doesn't really work like that.
No.
Maybe it does. I don't know. I haven't gotten a job, so I don't know, but maybe it could work like that. But yeah, it just was like, that's unfair. And then also, like, I was like, of course. A white man gets a job so easy just for sleeping with a woman. But it's not like that. This movie had like a very, it did have a very play tone vibe to it. Like the, like a kind of like a feel good movie. Nothing too bad is happening in it. I mean, mm-hmm. there are some moments, but
nothing
like
too challenging.
Yeah. Cause the other movies I know are like That Thing You Do. And Larry Crown are like Playtone movies. I think also Playtone has done all the My Big Fat Greek Wedding stuff because Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson are Greek lovers.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
Man, what a movie of its time. Also.
Yeah. Yeah. did you have any other fun notes that you took?
No, the plot was kind of meandering.
Yeah, it just was like, okay.
Oh, actually, something that I found kind of funny was that how similar it was to Now You See It, that Disney film.
Oh,
that
yeah
we had talked about on your other podcast. Where it's like everything is just narrated. It's like, what is it with magic movies or movies about magician where we have to just like narrate everything?
it felt weird having a narration. I feel like it cheapens a movie
a little. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, what was it? I guess because you needed that call and narration at the end when you're not sure if Buck Howard's gonna find his money, and then it looks like he's not going to find it, and that's when Colin's like, and then Buck never found his money, but he did find his. It was like kind of like tricks you because you're like, oh, how sad, this man lost his ability to find his money, but then no, he found it. It was just that
one
time.
Yeah, it's like, it's the film's like final reveal. Like a great magic act always has a final reveal.
Yeah. Surprise. But also then there's the whole bit of like everyone thinks that he has like an earpiece.
Yeah.
Someone telling him. But then like it's still kind of left open. Does he have a but no, I don't think he does. That's really him.
Well, they do the whole thing where he puts that hood on and he has the, like, two doctors inspect his ears.
Yeah.
Again, that's like one of those things where I'm like, it's a perfect example of people thinking that it's the most complicated thing. Like, this person would hire this secret person who would never show up. The road manager wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
And like, they have this expensive tiny earpiece that only the two of them would know so that that he would be able to find his money. But he doesn't have one.
Yeah.
He just be knowing.
He's smart. He knows where it is. And it's always, and from the movie, it looks like it's always the person who's just like sitting there staring straight forward, not making eye contact, while everyone else is like watching, like, ooh, where's it going? So it's like, look for the person that looks suspicious.
Yeah. Everyone has that tell.
Yeah, but he knows exactly where it is too, so that's really cool.
Yeah, like in the shoe or in the woman's bra.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there the one guy who lied, he was like, I don't have it. He's like, yeah, you do. And he's like, oh, you got me. I hate that. I hate that so much.
Yeah. Like people who really don't want to cooperate with the thing, it's like, this was your card. And they're like, no, wasn't.
Yeah. Or even that one time where he called up the two guys to write down like a number between 1 and 100 and
right,
they put
and the person
zero.
Went zero. Mm-hmm.
Ugh, I hate that. I hate when you get volunteers and you just know that they're looking to be funny and like you're like, no, I want someone who's gonna I hate it. And it's usually it's always a dude. But anyway.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
Like just cooperate. You're not you're not adding to anything to the show, my friend. It's like a heckler.
Yeah. It's also like when you did like improv shows where you bring someone up to interview. Oh, that's so, and then you, it feels like they're lying because they're trying to sound cooler. It's just like, it's funnier when you just tell the truth. Mm-hmm. Just be true. But yeah, there was something else I was gonna say. Oh, there's a moment where he gets really famous and then he's like on all these talk shows. And that was like, I love when that happens in movies because I always wonder, like, how did they shoot that? Were they like, hey, Regis, we have a scene where like.
I know, they had access to so many people. Yeah. And like.
But I'm wondering if that was like Tom Hanks being like, I'm producing this. Can we, you know, because people do anything.
I wouldn't be surprised, but it was like, what a great addition. Yeah. To a movie that truthfully I had never heard of until you asked me to watch it. So I was like very surprised at how stacked it was.
Yeah. It had Regis and Kelly, and then it had Conan.
George Takei.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that whole bit was very funny. It's like, was that written in the script? Because, like, I always wonder about that. Like, do you write that stuff and then just hope that you're going to get the person?
Yeah. Also, did it seem to you at all? Because it seemed to me that they had previously been lovers that had a falling out or something.
Yeah, yeah. Cause
okay, thank you.
Yeah, yeah, because they were like, is he gay? And then they're like, I don't know. And then like he was singing songs for George during like what singing also was very what the world
needs now.
It's like not even singing, but it was great. And then they like he's like, we don't really talk anymore. And I was like, oh, lovers mm-hmm. to enemies to lovers again. Yeah. I don't think I noticed that the first time I watched, but then this time I was like, oh, they must be like old lovers or something. I don't know. But yeah.
I think so. It was pretty queer.
Yeah.
Pretty queer to me.
Yeah. That's a pun too, because it sounds like pretty clear to me. Pretty queer. You're funny. Okay, well, is there anything else you had that you wanted to say about the great Buck Howard?
I mean, other than obviously this is about Colin, so I don't want to take up too much space about John Malkovich, but man, he's such a delight to watch always.
Oh, he is so much.
Yeah, yeah. Like whatever he plays is just I loved it. I loved everything about it.
It made me want to go watch. I mean, obviously, being John Malkovich. What an interesting movie that was. Have you seen?
Oh my god! Actually, one of my favorite lines in any movie whatsoever is from that movie. And I only watched that maybe in the last 4 years. Like I had never seen it, and then finally someone made me watch it. Yeah. And there's this one part where Catherine Keener's leaving the office, and Cameron Diaz is sitting there, and Catherine Keener says, it was nice to meet you. And Cameron Diaz, I don't know why this amuses me so hard, but she turns around and she says, That's my favorite anything in any piece of kind of dialogue ever.
Oh wow, I need to go back and watch that movie. It's been a while, but and see that for that moment.
Also kind of a queer movie.
Oh yeah, yeah, it is. And I like when everyone is John Malkovich and they're like, John Malkovich, John Malkovich. yeah, I need to go back and watch that. I thought about that while watching this. I was like, well, I want to go back and watch that movie. Mm-hmm. I also had thought about doing a Steve Zahn podcast called The Zahnathon. I've thrown that out. And if I do, I'd have to rewatch this movie a third time, but from a Steve Zahn perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my gosh.
Poor brother and sister character, they were so tragic.
They were so cute though, like they loved each other and they were so supportive and so fun. And Steve Zahn is always a great person. I mean, if he's like a side character and allowed to be goofy, he's like so funny. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then Doreen, his sister, is a part of the Red Hat Society, which I totally forgot about those ladies, but they used to be everywhere in my hometown. It's like they always wear purple and red.
What is that? What is the Red Hat Society? Is it like a sorority for like older ladies?
I think it is. It's just like a group.
They do like charity stuff.
Yeah, but they always have to wear red hats, but then they just wear a combination of purple and red, and they always have to wear a red hat. But
not a bad combo.
Yeah. Oh, it's global organization that changes women's lives every day.
Sounds kind of MLM.
Yeah,
big girl boss energy.
Yeah. But yeah, they're just cute. They always just show up at places like brunch places and are together, and it's cute. But yeah, they're fun. I like them. Okay, well, for this season of You've Got Hanks, I'm having people design. Okay, so Colin Hanks owns a line of Hankskerchiefs, which are handkerchiefs but called Hankskerchiefs. So for every movie, I'm having my guests.
Like, really? Oh my god. Yeah.
They look like bandanas. Okay. They're very cool. I have two of them.
I want one.
Yeah, but they're really just like bandanas. But they say not a bandana. Like that's their like company thing. They also make like they have a new Zodiac version. Yeah, they also do a cool like parks one where like they're themed after different like national parks and stuff.
I see.
Yeah, they're fun and cute. And at one point on the Toy Story 4 red carpet, Tom Hanks pulled one out to clean the badge on Woody because there was like a Woody there on the red carpet.
Aww.
Such a supportive dad, right?
Aww, cute.
Yeah. But I want you to design a Hankskerchief inspired by the great Buck Howard. And you just like pitch me what you think should be on it and like what color it should be or anything like that.
Ooh. I loved that Buck Howard wore a lot of like really 90s, like big suits, like that kind of cut from the 90s. And it's like 2008, so it's obvious like he just like has these suits and he's never changed his style. But there was like one moment that he was wearing like a mint green suit, with like an orange shirt. And then he had these like really goofy ties. So I think I would want to like incorporate like, I would want it to be like the base to be mint green.
Mm.
And then like the stitching is all that bright orange.
Ooh, fun.
And then the print to be kind of one of the goofy ass prints from the tie. So I think there was like a purple one with like weird, this is like the perfect question for me because I remember these kinds of like fucked up details.
Yeah.
Like I remember there was like a bit of a purpley burgundy one at one point maybe.
Yeah.
With like kind of like, maybe not like a paisley, but something, I don't know, some like little pattern. And I'd want that to be the like, the repeated pattern throughout.
Oh, cool. I would buy it.
Ooh, and then maybe at the corners, because you know how some of them have like little like images at the corners that kind of meet? Yeah. Shaking hands.
Yes!
An illustration of shaking hands.
Yeah. Wow. I would buy it. Colin, are you listening? Colin? That's honestly like the most... out of, because like mostly people are like, well, I just put like a little chapstick picture here, you know, that this is actually like a beautiful design that I feel like Colin should do. Colin should come out with a line of,
let's just, get him on the line.
Yeah. Okay. And also something I'm doing this season is I'm having everyone take a BuzzFeed quiz based, kind of inspired by this movie. So today's quiz is, what career should you actually have? Because in the movie, Colin doesn't know what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So first question, and these have a lot of answers. So just prepare for that. Okay. What would you spend your tax refund on? A big screen TV? How much is a yacht? An exotic vacation? Two words, Apple Store. Give it to charity. Another, give it to charity. They put it twice. Oopsies. Books, piles of books, down payment on a Range Rover, or invest it.
How much is our tax return?
I don't know, but it has Scrooge McDuck on it, so it's probably a lot.
Ooh. I don't know. Maybe a trip.
A vacation?
Yeah. Let's do vacation.
Okay. Pick a trilogy. Back to the Future, The Dark Knight, The Matrix, Toy Story, which is now not a trilogy, Star Wars, which is also, I guess, the original, The Godfather, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hunger Games, or Lord of the Rings?
Star Wars.
Ooh, Star. Have you been to Galaxy's Edge?
I have. I have not ridden any of the rides, though.
Oh, you got to do it.
I know.
One day, post-COVID.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. What would you bring on a desert island? A journal, a Kindle, smartphone, clothes, Swiss Army knife, food and water, a grill, book of crossword puzzles, or a buddy?
Oh. It's a toss up between buddy or a knife.
Yeah.
A buddy.
Yeah, you can use your friend as a knife. Just hold them and they go, blah, 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 blah. Like yeah. In cartoons. Okay, who is your dream dinner guest? Steve Jobs, Beyonce, the Dalai Lama, Oscar Wilde, Maya Rudolph, Stephen Hawking, Jane Goodall, Serena Williams, or Michelle Kwan?
Maya Rudolph.
Ooh, fun. She'd be so fun. Okay, what best describes you? Bold, observant, creative, badass, adventurous, critical thinker, determined, passionate, or loyal?
Ooh, I'll go with creative.
Yeah. Okay, what city should you actually live in? Barcelona, Los Angeles, Paris, Portland, London, New York, Rio de Janeiro, Cape Town, or Tokyo?
Ooh. I'll go with Barcelona.
Yeah, like in the Cheetah Girls 2. Okay, pick a magazine. Fast Company, The New Yorker, Vogue, Scientific American, Sports Illustrated, Reader's Digest, Forbes, National Geographic, or Wired?
I'm not going to pretend I'm like smarter than I am. I'm just going to go with Vogue.
Yeah, no, that's the... I mean... You get to be, well, wow, I want that dress. that's what I always do. Okay. What do you look for in a workplace? A good challenge, focused mission, organized. This one is too big. The font is very big and I can't read it. I don't know what it says.
Let's just anyway, skip it.
Yeah. Excitement, job security, attention to detail, risk-taking environment, or flexibility.
Ooh. Excitement.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really fantasize about what the ideal work is because work isn't really fantasizable, but sure, I'll go with excitement.
Yeah. pick a genre. Documentary, foreign, comedy, indie, drama, sci-fi fantasy, sports drama, action, or horror.
Ooh. Sci-fi.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, pick a social network. Snapchat, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Reddit, Pinterest, TikTok, or Tumblr?
Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, you're an astronaut! You are an explorer. You are curious about the world around you and the way it works. You look at things closely and often with a different perspective than everyone else. You're quite unique. Lucky you. Other occupations, researcher or teacher?
Ooh. I like astronaut.
Yeah. You should be an astronaut. The only thing that scares me is like watching movies about going into space. Usually they never. Yeah, right.
Tom Hanks.
There's that meme where it's like you never want to travel with Tom Hanks because something always goes wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's lovely to travel with in real life, though.
Yeah, but he got COVID.
Oh, then in real life, no, he's not fun to travel with. Wow, Tom.
Buddy.
Well, you're going to be an astronaut. How exciting. Okay. Well, now's the time to rate The Great Buck Howard. Out of 5 Colin Hankses, how many Colin Hankses do you give The Great Buck Howard?
I think my favorite parts were some of the performances. Mm-hmm. But I did find the score to be a bit unrelenting.
Yeah.
And the story to be a bit meandering. Mm-hmm. So out of 5, I'd give it maybe 3.5.
Yeah.
Is that bad?
No, that's what I was going to give it. I think that's
okay, good.
That's a good score. I actually like this movie better viewing it from a Colin perspective than a Tom perspective. Mm-hmm. And maybe that could also be the other movies that I've watched up until now of Colin's work. I've been kind of disappointed. So this was like a nice, fun time with fun people. And sure, it's not the best movie, but it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But A for effort. Good time all around. Had by all.
Good. Yeah. The Great Buck Howard is the good book.
Have you ever seen a picture of Tom Hanks's or like Colin Hanks's mom?
No. Well, yes, but not
because it's like looking at a picture of Rita Wilson.
Oh, really?
Because when we were watching the movie, we sat and Googled it, and it's very uncanny.
Oh, wow. Yeah. They have similar smiles. Wow. I mean, he has a type. Well, The Great Buck Howard. A 3.5 Colin movie out of 5. Well, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about Colin Hanks, this movie. Where can people find you?
Oh my God. I always forget about this question. I don't even really think about it. I mean, I guess Instagram, really. Yeah. It's at @KRYS_T_@ChrisT. And I really only use Twitter for this purpose, but I imagine what a Star Wars story in my mind would be. So like Rogue One, a Star Wars story. I kind of just make my Twitter like a Star Wars story dump. So it's the same thing at @KRYS_T_. So if you're a Star Wars fan and you like deep cuts, like Figrin Don and the Modal Nodes, or like Corday, a Star Wars story, then you can go there for that.
Yeah.
Instagram's really just thirst traps and sometimes magic.
Yeah. Those are both great things for Instagram. Yeah.
Oh, and cats. Cats and dogs.
Oh, cats. That the internet loves cats and dogs. You're not on TikTok?
No.
Oh, okay. That's my favorite.
I'm on it to be a lurker.
Yeah, a lurker. That's all you need, really, because when you're mm-hmm. scrolling through and you're like, hee, 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 that's the best. You don't necessarily have to make anything. Well, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me here in this place together.
Yeah. And thanks for listening. Okay, bye.
It's a Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, a Tom Hanks podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say that.